As may be too obvious, that was a story I felt I had to write, trying to deal with the hangover of pain and confusion that haunted most of us when we came back from Vietnam. I've met writers who can only write about themes that come from these dark levels, and they have my admiration and pity in about equal parts. I am not one of them. Give me a stack of paper and something that will make marks on it, and I'll come up with a story. Most of the people I know who write for a living share this small talent, this considerable obsession. Yet the question we are asked most frequently is, where do you get your crazy ideas? To me, this question sounds like the old story about the person who asks the salesman in a showroom how much the yacht costs. If you have to ask, the salesman says, you can't afford it. If you have to ask the ideas question, you likely won't understand the answer, or you won't believe it. They come out of thin air. The ideas are just there. The only trick is to make yourself receptive to them. This is the basis for the first assignment I made to my science fiction writing students at MIT. When I took roll the first day, I asked each student to pick a number between 8 and 188. These corresponded to page numbers in the excellent source book The Science in Science Fiction by Peter Nichols and David Langford, Knupf, 1983. I told them to take the topic that's discussed on that page and begin a story about it. Then I further restricted them by asking that they look through the Science Fiction Hall of Fame collection, Robert Silverberg and Ben Bova editors, Avon, 1971 and 1974, reading the first page of every story and find a beginning that seemed attractive, then write a pastiche of that beginning, applying its structure to the random topic. Part of the lesson taught by this seemingly capricious assignment is that art thrives on restrictions. A larger part is to generate in the students the sudden aha feeling. A minute ago, there was nothing. Now, there's a story. Where the hell did it come from? The where it came from, he says, dusting the chalk from his vest, is named by different cultures and eras according to whatever symbology is comfortable to them. The muses, the collective unconscious, the tension between left and right brain activity. Naming it isn't important. It's the same place whether you're a blind poet mumbling immortal lines on the Aegean shore, or a chain-smoking hack writer facing a deadline and the baleful screen of a word processor. Before, there was nothing. Now, there's a story. Out of curiosity and a sense of fairness, I made myself do all the assignments I gave to the students. My random number was 142, which came up cyborg, and the beginning I chose to emulate was from Daniel Keyes' marvelous tale, Flowers for Algernon. This is what happened.